Romans chapter 12 marks a watershed in the book of Romans, because in the opening 11 chapters of the book, the Apostle Paul has been dealing with the wonderful and thrilling message of redemption and the great salvation that the believer has in Jesus Christ. He points up the great truths that we have, the believer's calling in grace, the believer's conversion, how that we're saved, how that we stand right before him. And then he highlights the believer's certainty, the security that we have in Christ Jesus. But then from chapter 12 onwards, he takes a somewhat different angle and a different approach. And he demonstrates how then that salvation is to be worked out and how it is to be lived out in our lives. How that our redemption is to be revealed to those around us. How that our salvation is to be shown to those that we meet. And often that is the way that the Bible will present the responsibility that we as believers have of whatever age. It will teach us the doctrine, and then it will tell us our duty. It will state the great truth of all that we have in Christ, all that we are because of him. And then the scriptures will remind us of the task that we are called to fulfill. And there is a very important reason for this, I believe. Because doctrine, while it is thrilling, teaching, while it is wonderful to consider all that Christ has done for us, how that he died for us, how that he gave his life for us, how that we're saved in him, how that we're secured in him, how that we're satisfied with him, and all the wonderful truths that lie behind that. Yet if that is all that we have, then we've missed the point. If all we have is a head knowledge of the great truths of the Word of God, a grasp of all those truths, and that is needful, and we can argue our case very well, and we can debate things, we could have researched matters, and all of that. If that word hasn't impacted our lives and our hearts in the way it should, then it has missed the point. If the word of God only gets into our head and not reached our heart, and we fail to live up to our duties, then the whole point is missed. You see, there's doctrine, yes, but there's also duty. There's salvation, yes, but there's also service. And folks, these are vital elements that go hand in hand. And this is the approach that the Apostle Paul takes in this book and, of course, in other writings as well. Notice how he changes the whole tenor and the whole tone of his message in the opening words there in Romans chapter 12. He says, I beseech you, therefore, on the basis of all that he has brought before us in the opening chapters of the book and all that he has reminded us concerning God's so great salvation, he says, therefore, believers, on the basis of all of that, now live out your salvation. Let others see Christ in you. Go and serve the Lord. Go and be busy for the Lord. Give your all to him. Young person, and indeed older person today, if we're saved, whenever we consider fully, and whenever we grasp wholly what the Lord has done for us, then surely that will motivate us to go and do something for him. Christ died for us, so we must live for him. Can I ask you each one today, are you living for the Lord? Are you serving the Lord? Are you witnessing for the Lord? Have you given your life totally over to the Lord? Is your life surrendered to him? Whatever it is the Lord perhaps is asking you to do, and let me just for a moment speak to the youth today. Whatever it is the Lord is asking you to do, and perhaps the Lord has been dealing with your heart and your life, and the Lord, as you see it, is asking you to do a hard thing. Yet if the Lord is calling you to do something that is hard, then do it. Serve him. may it even be that God is calling some young person in this congregation to go and leave your place of employment. Go and leave that which you're currently doing and go and train for His service full time. To you, that seems a hard thing. To you, that seems a difficult thing. If that's what the Lord is calling you to do, then do it. And surrender your heart and life to Him. Therefore, as we come to look at these opening words of Romans chapter 12, we want to consider the subject before us today, the surrender of our lives. The surrender of our lives. And I want each one of us to realize that whatever age we are, and whatever stage or situation in life we're at, this is what the Lord calls us all to do. If you know Him and love Him, we are to surrender our lives. I want you to see, first of all, with me here, the challenge which is decreed. The challenge which is decreed. Verse 1, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice. The challenge here is to give your bodies, all that you are, over to the Lord. You see, there's that great tendency amongst us as God's people to live a little bit for the world and then give the rest to God. We try to live with one foot in the world and another foot in the church. That doesn't work. That doesn't work. How many young lives, and indeed older lives, and they're ruined because they thought they could live for the world and live for God as well, but it doesn't work. We are to present, or literally to yield up, or to give over to God all that we are, and not to hold back from Him. He challenges us, yes, more than that, He commands us to give our life to Him. Notice the authority of this challenge. On what basis does the Lord present this challenge to us? What is the foundation of it? What is the authority of it? It's by the mercies of God, as we read there in verse 1. The goodness, the kindness of God is the authority on which the apostle bases this challenge of urging the regenerate soul to give their lives over to the Lord. Remember, of course, it's of the Lord's mercies that we are saved. It's of the Lord's mercies that we are preserved. He saves us. He keeps us. It is of the Lord's mercies that we will never be lost. Everything we are and all that we are is due to the mercies of God. It is of the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed, that we are not defeated, nor ever will be. That deep throbbing in the heart of God, manifested in the Lord Jesus Christ and His coming into this world, His perfect life, in His sacrificial death, dying for us at Calvary's cross, suffering pain unimaginable, such agony of heart that mortal man has never, ever experienced, nor never will. And Christ was cut off and despised and rejected by God the Father on the cross, that we might never be forsaken. There's the mercy of God, folks. There's the goodness of God in its fullest mercy. How deep the Father's love, the hymn writer said. How vast beyond all measure that He should give His only Son to make a wretch His treasure. On the basis of all that God has done for you, believer, are we not then to surrender our life? He gave His all. Should we not give our all to Him? The authority of this challenge, it's the mercies of God. But I want you to see further with me here the acceptability of this challenge. You present, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God. Everything we do, everything we say, and sometimes we can lose this, it ought to be to please God. Sometimes we do things, maybe many of the time we do things to please ourselves, to please others. And we forget about pleasing God. The things we do, the places we go to, they all ought to be with this one aim, this sole purpose, to please God. And when we do that which pleases Him, that which is acceptable to Him. And that's literally what the word means there, acceptable. It's well-pleasing. You see, young person, when you surrender your life to Him and you give your life over to the Lord, that is something which is acceptable to Him. That is something which is well-pleasing to Him. And when we all surrender all that we have to Him and not hold anything back, that is acceptable unto God. I say again, and I issue the challenge again, because the Lord has brought this message to my heart for this service. Could there be that God is calling some young man to train for the ministry of our church in our denomination? Or some young girl, and God is calling you to train for missionary service at home or on the foreign land. God's calling you. God's challenging you. Then surrender your life to Him, and that is acceptable and pleasing unto God. You notice the word bodies there in that verse. It's a reference to all of us. All parts of us, all our faculties, all our abilities, all our talents. God challenges us to give them all over to Him. In other words, let the Lord be master and ruler of your life. Let Him lead you and guide you aright. What potential there is in the life of a young person, an older person, who's totally surrendered to God. The acceptability of this challenge, the authority of it. But notice as well the appropriateness of this challenge. At the end of verse 1 it says, which is your reasonable service. Your reasonable service. You see, this challenge that the apostle presents to us here is appropriate, it's right, it's applicable to every child of God. You see, folks, God is not making a high demand of us here. God is not asking us to do something which is over and above us. He's not imposing any great burden upon us in this challenge. He's merely stating what He expects of us. He's merely stating what we should be doing willingly and gladly. That word reasonable there, it's where we get our English word logical from. Therefore, it's totally logical, it's totally compatible with our Christian life that we do surrender our life to Him. And when we do surrender our life to Him, there is a thought there in that word service, a sense of worship. We're offering our life to the Lord. I wonder, have you ever, child of God, yes, you're saved, you know with assurance in your heart that you're right with God, have you ever come to that point where you've said, I'm going to give my all to Him? Young person, older person, have you ever said, Lord, just take my life. I give it all to You. This is our reasonable service. This is what we ought to be doing day and daily. Presenting our bodies a living sacrifice to God. And as I look around this congregation today, what potential there is in the hands of God, lives given over to Him. We've been reminded already in the announcements today of the rampant march of sin and hell and Satan. Is it not time that the Church of Jesus Christ arose and took the battle to the very gates of hell, and we'll not do that till we come to that point where we've surrendered our all to him. If the Lord is worth anything, and he is worth everything. He's worth everything. And I come back again to that little phrase, the mercies of God, on the basis of all that he has done for you. Are we not then to surrender our lives to him? My minister, I still call him my minister, the Reverend Morrow. I was in the church in Omagh, my home church. He used to say a little phrase that really stuck in my head. He said, we're not saved to be passengers on the bus to heaven. Child of God, you're not saved. I'm not saved to be a passenger on the bus to heaven. We're saved to be servants of the Lord and servants of the Master and serving him with all that we are. Glorify God through that. There's the challenge. Present your bodies. I wonder if there's some young person, older person today, and you will present your body. You'll say to the Lord, here it is. And giving my all to you. When I consider all you've done for me, then this is the least I can do for you. Serve him in school. Serve him in the workplace. And yes, serve him in that full-time capacity. Serve him in this church. Serve him amongst the congregation here. Serve the Lord. There's the challenge decreed, but as we look further into these verses, I want you to see the conformity which is demanded. The conformity which is demanded. Look at verse number 2. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. Be ye not conformed to this world. As we notice this conformity which is demanded, I want you to see here the warning which is issued. Be not conformed to this world. It means there to shape or to fashion. In other words, the Christian, the believer of whatever age, young or old, we are not to shape ourselves according to the fashions of this world or the ideas of this world or the thinking of this world. The world there, the sense of the world in verse number 2, it means this sinful world, the standards of men, the principles of men. In other words, we are not to mold ourselves or to fashion ourselves according to the standards of this world, because we all know they can change and will change. Young person, I say in love to your hearts and to your lives, don't live by the standards of this world. Don't live by the standards of this world. Don't measure yourself by how the world measures up. Don't run after the world. Don't want to be like the world in its music and its manner, its multitude. Avoid conforming to be like this world. And that's a challenge for each one of us. Yes, we're in this world, but we're not of this world. We are to be different. We are to be different. The world ought to know that there's something different about your life and mine. That doesn't mean we're not to have any associations with the world. That's impossible. The Great Commission is to go into all the world and preach the gospel. We can preach it by our lives. We can also preach it by our lips. But we are to be careful. We're to be careful in this old world. Because this world is no friend to the Christian, no friend to the child of God. Oh yes, sin will be dressed up. Sin will be made appealing. And the old devil has got the advertisement agencies in overdrive today. and glosses over sin and makes sin look something which it really isn't. Young person, older person, you know what the devil wants to do with your life? Do you know what the devil wants to do with your testimony? He wants to destroy it. He wants to destroy it. Therefore, don't be like the world. Don't conform yourself to this world. Abstain from all appearance of evil. Appearance of evil. Some people say, well, I'm not too sure about that. It might be okay. Well, if you're not too sure, then don't do it. Don't do it. Can God be glorified in everything we do? In those things that we seek after, is God glorified through it? If not, then don't do it. The warning issued, but notice then the work involved. But be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. Be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. We're not to be conformed, but to be transformed. And there's a work involved there. There's an activity we're involved in. And it all centers on the mind, our thoughts, our thinking. Because what our flesh does, what we do, is based on our thinking, on our mind. And the mind is brought under control and the mind is brought into captivity of God, then we will be changed. And that's the simple meaning of that word transformed. It means a metamorphosis, describes a change. You think of the change that the caterpillar goes through as it becomes a beautiful butterfly. They're both the same creature. It's just what is inside the caterpillar, then it appears outwardly in the form of a butterfly. And what is in us will appear out of us. That's why we need to ensure that our inward mind is pure, that we strive after purity. We realize that there is a work involved, filling our minds with the things of God. We can fill our minds with so many things. We can fill our minds with things that are not healthy or not wholesome. But I tell you, when you fill your mind with the things of God and the Word of God, reading His Word day after day and asking for the Holy Spirit to sanctify your life, that's being transformed to God. The Holy Spirit enabling us to live for Him. Keep our minds pure and unspotted from this world. I say to the young people and I say to us all, don't be conformed to this world. This world wants to wreck your life. This world wants to ruin your life. But be transformed by the renewing of your minds. Let your minds, let your thoughts be taken up with the Word of God. Long to be more like Him. Long to love Him more. Long to serve Him more. The challenge which is decreed, the conformity which is demanded. And finally, as we close, I want you to see the consequence which is described. You see, folks, as we present our bodies a living sacrifice to God, and as we conform ourselves more and more to the image of God, the blessed consequence is that we will prove, we will try, we will live out the will of God for our lives. And that's a very important point to notice, the will of God for our lives. See, I don't want you to think tonight, today, that the will of God is only for the preacher. The will of God is only for the missionary. The will of God is for every single child of God. God has a plan for every child of His. And we are to seek it out. What God can do in us and God can do through us when our lives are totally surrendered to Him. The will of God is a blessed thing. The will of God is a beautiful thing. The will of God is not a burden. Maybe you have been rebelling against God's will for your life. You know you're not right with Him. You know things that need to be put right, but you're not doing that. You're not wanting to live where God wants you to live. Don't hold back from Him, young person, older person. Make sure you're right in the very center of God's will for your heart and life. And can I say to the young people today, that center of God's will may mean things will have to change. As I started out on my, as I thought, career, never did I imagine that I would be serving God in a full-time capacity in East Belfast. Never entered my thinking. But I would not want to be anywhere else. That's where God's will would have me be. Child of God, when you're in the center of God's will, you want to be nowhere else. God's will, it is pleasant. Verse 2, it says it's good. It's good. No better place, no safer place could you be than right in the very center of His will. Are you sure you are where God wants you to be? Are you sure that you're in the place God wants you to be in? If not, then get to that place where God wants you to be. Seek out and search out the will of God for your life, because God does have a will. God does have a plan for your life. It's pleasant. Notice as well also its purpose there. It is acceptable. Acceptable. You see, the purpose of the will of God is to make us complete. It's to make us fulfilled. And the sense there of that word acceptable is that we will never feel settled. We will never feel at rest until we know we're right in the very center of the will of God. And then also it's perfecting. That which is good, acceptable, and perfect. There's no flaw in God's will. It works in the life of the believer. It perfects the life of the believer. It is ever making the child of God more and more like Christ. It enables us to live for Him. It empowers us to live for Him. The will of God may not always be the easy option, but it's always the best option. That's where we will enjoy God the most, when we are right in the very center of the will of God. But in order to get to the center of God's will, we must first of all renounce our own will. In other words, we must not want to be doing our own thing and continually rebelling against what God wants us to do. But you see, whenever you present your body, whenever you surrender your life to Him, God will lead you in that perfect will and plan. We must discern the will of God for our lives. And then we must do the will of God for your lives. G.B. Duncan, who was one of the leading conference speakers at the Keswick Convention meetings, he said this: "The will of God is not something we are just to understand. The will of God is something that we are to undertake. Not just know what God wants us to do, then we are to do what God wants us to do." And what would it be? What would it be that from this congregation here in Bethany, Free Presbyterian Church, lives surrendered to God, lives placed on the altar for God. What a change, what a difference that would make. First of all, in your own lives, and then in this community. And who knows, but further afield. Sitting in this congregation today, there could be the greatest preacher this modern world has ever known. May that be the case. Sitting in this congregation today, there may be the greatest missionary this modern world has ever seen. May that be the case. And from this congregation, may God send forth laborers into his harvest field, surrendered and committed to do God's will. He may not ask us, and he will not ask us all to go into service full time, but he does all ask us to surrender our lives. Is your life surrendered to him? Are you doing what you can for the Lord? If not, then today come and lay your life on the altar for the Lord. He can do far more with it than you ever can. May God bless his word.